would say, aren't you confusing the two? If you read it literally, you're like, you're saying that the Word is the Word, and the Word is the Word. Small W, capital W. It's that close. He is the Word, capital W, but a lot of people will say He's the living Word. Yeah, but there's times where the written Word is spoken of in terms of it being a person. Why is that? You can't separate the two. That's how close Jesus and His Word are. Something to meditate on, think about. So thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. That's how He's going to rule from Revelation 19 at the return all the way through the millennium. He'll rule with a rod of iron. Just do a word study on rod. We're not going to spend any more time on that. But it's an amazing study. Rod, connected to Jesus and to His Word and to how He's going to rule. It's an amazing thing. So then verse 10. Are there yet the treasures of wickedness in the house of the wicked, and the scant measure that is abominable? The north was filled with, when it says treasures of wickedness in the house of the wicked, the north had a different religion. And they had it was filled with idols in the north. In the south, they didn't go that far as they still had the temple. Up until there were times where idolatry crept in and everything, but they weren't as bad as the north. I would just put it that way. It's like that joke I tell about the fellow when he's a wicked, wicked man. When he died, his brother goes to the preacher and says, I'll give you $500 if you'll tell everybody my brother was a saint. So the funeral comes along and the preacher gets up there and he says, well, he told the fellow, okay, I'll do it. And so the funeral takes place and he says, the man lying before you was a wicked, mean, nasty, lying scoundrel. But compared to his brother, he's a saint. And that's how, when you look at the north and the south, you look at the north and then you look at the south don't look quite as bad. It was bad, but it was still compared to the north. And I just say Ahab, Jezebel, and we'll come back to that in a minute. So the north was filled with idols, ill-gotten gains, and money changers ripping people off. It says the scant measure that is abominable. How would you feel if you went to, we got meat for the church not long ago, and I went in and got a couple pounds of this, a couple pounds of that, you know. And what? I paid for 2 pounds, 2 pounds. And then what if I wasn't paying attention, and I went out and I paid for it, get in the car, come, and Jenny's like, that's not 2 pounds. And it says on there it's 2 pounds. And then she put it on the little measuring thing downstairs. That's only 1.25 pounds. That one's only 1.25 pounds. I mean, wouldn't you feel pretty upset about that? That's what was going on about everything in business. And I believe that's going on now. How many of you have noticed how much air you get when you open bags of chips and things? Yeah. How many of you noticed that the candy bar costs the same, but if you remember how big they used to be and how big they are now? Now they're all bite-sized. Yeah, we like to call them fun size. Yeah, Johnny?
Just another example of the comparison. It's like you can look at America and see all the bad things happening, but compared to all the other countries,
compared to China, or not Nigeria. Yeah.
We used to buy cookies, $2 for 12. It's $2.98 for 10.
Yeah, price goes up and the amount goes down. Yeah, that's Bidenomics. Yeah.
Now they would have and compared what a dollar could buy 100 years.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you could buy 30 Hershey bars for $1.
Yeah.
Now you can only buy half a Hershey bar.
Yeah. Somebody made a meme about how, you know, somebody was online saying, they just assessed my home. It went from $200,000 to now it's $325,000. And so somebody else made a meme and said, you know, hello, your house isn't worth more. It's because your currency's worth less. That's why, you know, most people don't understand. Today in his rally, President Trump was talking about what he called the inflation tax. He claimed to come up with the term, and I know that I've heard that term before. So I don't think he came up with the term, but he thinks he did. But anyway, but it's a true thing. That's all inflation is. With our money system, inflation is nothing but a tax that it's taxation without representation.
Yeah.
And that's the whole Federal Reserve thing. We don't have time to get in all that or it won't get done. But verse 11 then goes on to say, shall I count them pure with the what? Wicked balances, and with the bag of what?
Deceitful weights.
Deceitful weights. How many of you got a quarter? You got a quarter? You know that used to be silver?
Yeah.
Now it's worthless, what, nickel or something like that they use? What do they make it out of? Is it aluminum now?
They're the equivalent of slugs.
What do they make them out of?
Zinc.
Yeah. Well, if you get sick, you can eat it, and it might help you. Your money used to be worth something, and people didn't want that paper garbage. They wanted the coins because the coin was made out of gold and silver, and they could go and cash it in for, you know, for gold if they wanted. You can't do that now. And even your paper money used to be able to cash it in for the amount it stated. If it's a $100 bill, cash it in for $100 worth of gold. Not anymore. It's just worthless paper. And it's all inflation. It's like an inflation tax, Mark.
Well, there's one guy I was listening to, Christian Maria, one day. He said that our coins have been slugs since 1964.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's all they are.
1982, they took all the, they don't use copper and pennies.
But they used to say, don't take any wooden nickels. Well, now whatever nickel's made out of, it's worth wood anyway. Every nickel is about the equivalent of a wooden nickel now. So sellers cheated buyers. Buyers cheated sellers. It was going both ways. It was a constant crooked scam. The honest hard worker got left in the dust. And that's what made God mad. And it wasn't just honest hard working people, even the poor and the, you know, the widows and the elderly and people like that, they were all getting taken. So then verse 12. For the rich men thereof are full of violence, and the inhabitants thereof have spoken what?
Lies.
And their tongue is deceitful in their mouth. That sounds like life in America, right? Isn't it?
Amen.
It describes Israel around 710 BC and America now.
Amen. Amen.
Same thing. God is disgusted with the whole system. But he's so long-suffering. I love God. But sometimes I get a little aggravated with his long-suffering. Don't you, be honest?
Yeah,
sure. I get a check, you know, then my spirit, the Spirit of God, you know, checks me real quick on it. But there's times where I'm like, ah, what's it going to take? Then I'm reminded what he put up with me. So then we see the consequences, verses 13 through 15. Therefore also will I make thee sick in smiting thee, in making thee desolate because of thy sins. What we're seeing on TV, like that one fellow said, or one lady said, you know, they've been pumping this Islamic money by the billions into all these schools for decades now. We're just the chickens have come home to roost. We've been telling kids for 40, 50 years at least in all the public schools that you're nothing but an evolved animal. What do you expect? What are they acting like? Almost unevolved animals.
Dinosaurs?
Huh?
According to evolutionists, dinosaurs.
Yeah. Well, they think, I can't keep it up, but they say dinosaurs came from birds or birds came from dinosaurs or something like that. But again, we can look at our own day and see what's happening back then. Just a couple of examples. This is from an advisory board website. I won't go into all that, but you can look it up. Charted, America's physical health is getting worse.
Amen.
Just telling Jenny, you know, it's funny how things happen is that when, as America went away from being a largely farming and small business to more of the industrial thing. Along came Orville and Wilbur Wright. Before they did the airplane thing, they were selling bicycles, and bicycles were the thing. And I can't remember if this was around before World War I, I believe, when they were doing this. And there were medical findings and research and everything where they said, this is revolutionizing the health of the American people. Everybody's getting healthy all of a sudden because they're all out riding bikes. And now what's everybody doing? We have the strongest thumbs and fingers in the world right now. Because that's all anybody does all day long. This with a, or this, or with a phone. But the problem is it's unnatural, so everybody's getting carpal tunnel.
Neck problem,
eye problem. Necks, eyes, yeah. Well, then you have this. An estimated 40 million Americans take psychiatric drugs. That's legal drugs. If you add up everybody taking drugs, 70 million Americans are on mind-altering drugs.
They all voted for Biden.
That explains the 70 million Biden voters. One in five. Now, we say this. There are some people who have to have these medicines. We're not telling everybody. But there's no way that many people should be taking this stuff. That's the problem. J. Vernon McGee said this, quote, the northern kingdom of Israel in Micah's day was in the same condition in which we are today. He wrote this when I was about 15 years old. And God brought judgment upon them. Although they were his chosen people as a nation, he brought judgment upon them. Can you imagine what he would say if he was alive today? I mean, you remember the 80s? I'm old enough to remember the 80s. And we're also seeing this. Verse 14. Thou shalt eat, but not be satisfied. Why is that? Part of it is because of what's being eaten. It's not satisfying. You need protein. You need your vegetables that have things that, you know, are supposed to be eaten. God gave them for you to eat. Before the flood, that's all people ate. And then he gave you meat to eat after the flood because our bodies changed and we needed higher protein. But what most people are eating are empty sugars and carbs. Yeah, that kind of stuff. And they had the same problem back then, even before Doritos. It's an amazing thing. Israel would fail on all sides and at every attempt at everything they did. Why? It says, and thy casting down shall be in the midst of thee, and thou shalt take hold, but shall not deliver. That kind of reminds me of how many times I've ordered things online and it never shows up, or when it does, it's broken. See how it's just the same thing, it's just different, but the same. And that which thou deliverest will I give up to the sword. That's kind of interesting, you think about it. How much of our tax money is going to war? Yeah. Israel is having to spend so much money on defense. And a lot of that was just to gather up all the gold and things that were worth something and send it off and say, please don't attack us. They did that with Assyria once. And Assyria went home. Then later when they needed more, they came back. That's all that will ever get to you, that kind of appeasement. But what are we doing in America? Sending over, you know, what was it this last time? Is it $65 billion over to Ukraine so that they could spend it and Biden and all these crooks can make money off the military-industrial complex? Is that not cheating? Is that not what we're reading about here? Same thing was going on then, and you can see it happening to you and I today. That's how we get. Yeah, Mark?
Yeah, it's just, you know, look what they did recently, a couple of years ago. We left $85 billion worth of of military hardware in Afghanistan.
Yeah, so that they can wage war, and then we have to then supply their enemy. Because that's, you go back and read about these wars, the banksters fund both sides.
Absolutely, exactly. And the thing is, you were talking about mine on during drugs. That's what the letters in MAD stand for, the way I see it. Hmm. Mind altering drugs. You got to be mad to take those things.
Yeah. So the end result will be a collapse of the economy and a loss of comfort and pleasure. And we've had that happen in our country already several times. And I'm shocked that it hasn't happened already. Of course, we've said that many times. I'm shocked that the thing just keeps going on. Verse 15 says, "Thou shalt sow, but thou shalt not reap. Thou shalt tread olives, but thou shalt not anoint thee with oil. And sweet wine, but thou shalt not drink wine." So you think in terms of oil and wine, a lot of times the Bible will use those terms to refer to the comforts of life. Plenteous means good times. Scarcity means great depression. That's the bottom line here. We have lived in a land of plenty my whole life. We thought 2008 and the real estate crisis was a big deal. That was nothing. It was nothing. 9/11, really? I don't want to say it's nothing because the 3,000 lives, but I'm talking economically. Economically, nothing. Nothing in my lifetime, nothing compared to what my grandparents and great-grandparents went through in two great depressions within 40 or 50 years of each other in the late 19th and early 20th centuries. And we couldn't understand why they would never throw anything away. Why you did not throw leftovers away. One way or another, it got it. As a word they used. But my dad wasn't raised in the... He was born in 43, barely remembers the end of World War II, but he was raised by a mother who lived through that as a child. And so we just laughed about it. We weren't disrespectful, but we did kind of make fun of him a little bit. Because he would eat a box of cereal. And growing up, just like your pizza boxes, that was part of what we would burn in the wintertime. He didn't throw those boxes away. And they take the thing out, the bag out of it, rinse it out, put it in the drainer and let it dry. You'd find he would wrap things up when he'd take it to lunch or whatever, or just to wrap something up to put in the refrigerator. And you don't need Ziplocs, you've got cereal bags. As a kid, I honestly thought it was kind of crazy, but you know, when if you've lived through that and then you've been raised by somebody who lived through that, who told you the stories, it makes sense. Amen. Jessica?
Every year at Christmas, my dad would get out of his pocket knife and carefully undo that tape. And then I can remember.
Yeah.
Folding all that and putting some away.
The person that did that most was my grandma, my mom's mom, Grandma Frances. She would do the same thing, fold that neatly and put it over there. Next year, that would be your gift, would be wrapped with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, John.
Yeah, I was told that my grandmother would save a bacon grease or hamburger grease and give it to the neighbors so they can have a taste of meat.
Yeah. No, the same story for my grandma.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were people would give their neighbors the grease just as an act of charity so they could at least taste. And yeah. They put it in things like their beans and things, you know, so they could taste it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Never been there, have you?
Once.
So what is the root cause of all this? The wise man wants to find the causes. But I'm going to call an audible here, and we're going to pick up their next study. That's where we'll pick up, because I don't want to hang over too long, and I don't want to rush through this. So that's what we'll pick up next week with the causes.
Amen.
And that's just that last verse, but there's a lot we're going to talk about. So with that, let's close with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for what you've given us so far as we close out chapter 6. I really hope the only reason I wouldn't finish is because we got raptured. But in this case, we just ran over a little bit, so we'll pick up there next time. And thank you so much for what we did learn, and look forward, if we're not raptured, we look forward to the next studies. In Jesus' name, amen.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back.
Though no one join me,
still I will follow.
Amen.